Good morning. So our first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, and in this Bible it's on page 1218 in the New Testament. So 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God, honour the emperor. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning from me. Very warm welcome to Cornerstone. Shorter service, so it's going to be a shorter sermon as well this morning. So we did someone cheer then? Outrageous! Sorry, I'll tell everybody, Dave was dancing in that last song. You couldn't see, but let's go, couldn't you? There, well, that was me getting my own back. Let's pray, shall we, as we come to God's word. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we don't have as much time to dive into it this morning, but we ask, Father, that you'll still do us good as we hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, we're on the doorstep of the home of Christian living. And today and over the next few weeks, actually what's going to happen, Peter is going to take us through the house of Christian living, room by room, to different aspects of life. How Christians respond to government and employees and in married life. Well, we're in verses 11 and 12 and then a few after today. Verses 11 and 12, if you like, we're standing on the doorstep. We're about to enter. And let me just read verse 11 again. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Some other Bible translations have, instead of dear friends, they say, beloved. These Christians are that precious to Peter and to God. And remember, thinking, why are they so beloved? Well, remember last week, we saw in verse 9, how God sees these people, as he sees them as chosen and royal, a priesthood, holy, a nation, special to God. Also, if you want to put it in one word, beloved. All won for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. His death and his resurrection, his amazing gift, giving us the amazing gift of knowing him today and forever. All Jesus given to the likes of you and me. But knowing Jesus, following him, loving him, it changes everything, doesn't it? We come to him in faith and trust, but it changes our whole outlook on life. And therefore, Peter starts in verse 11, dear friends, beloved. But he also says, foreigners and exiles. The world we live in now is temporary. I'll borrow some words from an old hymn. The world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Now, being with Jesus forever is our true home. And therefore, in the here and now, in Grays, England, or wherever any Christian finds themselves on the planet, this is not where we truly belong. We should feel like oddballs. There'll be times when we just know we just don't fit in. We find out why in the second half of verse 11. Verse 11 again. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. We don't fit in because we abstain from sinful desires, from passions of the flesh. And in this world, that is just truly radical. It's just massively different. To abstain from chapter 2 and verse 1, just look at what it says in chapter 2, verse 1. The things that it mentions there, malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy and slander. You know, we're so used to lying that we expect our politicians to lie to us, don't we? It's someone that we price it in when we think about who we're voting for. We expect social media to be full of slander. TV advertisers rely on the fact that envy is absolutely rife. But it's not just out there. It can also exist. It's not just someone else's problem. You know what I mean? Our culture has drunk deeply from this world, but God's people can also be tempted down that line as well. And therefore, God tells us to abstain from it. Now, yes, sadly, at times, at various times in some churches, Christianity comes across as a bunch of goody-two-shoes, a bunch of people who are just about being good. I was actually chatting to somebody this week, and she said she sometimes went to church, and she said, yeah, it's basically about being a good person, isn't it? And that is a terrible, terrible mistake. Christianity at its core is about a relationship with God, isn't it? A relationship bought for us by Jesus Christ, and we accept it through repentance and faith. But it is a relationship that changes us, that changes our priorities. A relationship that means we will abstain from certain things. Or to put it bluntly, our heavenly, loving Heavenly Father does give us some commands. And some of those commands are, do not. But it's not just the negative stuff that we should avoid. Please look at me at verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Now, good lives must include the good deeds that are mentioned later on in verse 12. They're linked, aren't they? And I wonder if Peter was picking up on Jesus' words here that we have recorded in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. When Christians do good deeds in God's strength and in God's way, it points those people around us to God. Now, they may not realize it straight away. In fact, they may even accuse you of doing wrong. You know what I mean? Oh, you're only helping that person over there because you want them to become a Christian. You know what I mean? As if they know our motivations. Now, yes, I love it when someone becomes a Christian. Someone starts following Jesus. But we love our neighbors because it demonstrates God's love for us. It points to God. It glorifies him. Yes, we want them to become Christians as well, but we want to love them because God loves us. And even if people don't realize it at the time, and they do wrongly accuse us, there will be a day when they see it, when Jesus comes back, and they suddenly go, ah, that was done because of God. I hope you see that this is encouraging, because as we live as strangers in this world, as we try to live good and honourable, God-pleasing lives amongst unbelievers, now we feel that so much goes unnoticed, don't we? We sometimes even get it in the neck for living for Jesus. But ultimately, none of it will be missed. God will be glorified. It is not wasted. So to use Peter's words, beloved, you're different. Abstain from certain things and do good for God. It will be noticed. It will glorify our Heavenly Father. But then Peter moves to the first example. He moves us into the first room of the Christian living house. and verse 13. Please look with me at verse 13. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. We've got the government here, haven't we? And the key word here becomes right at the beginning of verse 13. Submit. Submit to the government. God's honourable, doing good people should be ideal citizens when it comes to abiding by the law. Now, yes, there are some exceptions, such as if the government wants you to do something which goes against God's law. You might think of the midwives back in the days of Moses. And the Pharaoh wanted them to kill all the babies. And they said, no, we're not doing that. And, you know what I mean, there are some exceptions. But we shouldn't make the exception the rule. God's summary to his people when it comes to the government is submit to it. But then you may ask, what if it's a terrible government? I mean, Labour supporters often say that about the Conservative government, or Conservatives say that about the Labour governments, don't they? But we haven't seen anything compared to what Peter and the Christians back then were putting up with. Because who was in charge when Peter was writing? It was Emperor Nero. Now, that Roman emperor who was famous for feeding Christians to the lions. Christians submit even to a terrible ruler. And why? Verse 15. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. People will notice. Some in this life, but remember verse 12. Everybody will notice when Jesus comes back. God will be glorified. But then thinking, how does it glorify God? How does it glorify God for us to be good citizens? Well, actually, we see this played out further next week at the latter part of chapter 2. But just to give us a quick clue now, it's because that Jesus, the Son of God, the King of the universe, came into this world and became a what? A servant. Truly glorious. And therefore, we follow in his footsteps. And as we submit, we follow in his footsteps and point to the servant Jesus. And we're servants ourselves as we submit to our governments. Now, at one level, this is straightforward, isn't it? It's quite clear, isn't it? Be law-abiding citizens. But it's actually quite hard, isn't it? I mean, I don't have a particular problem, personally, of keeping the speed limits. It's the odd time I might go over, but on a whole, it's not. But this, for other Christians, actually, it's a real temptation to go faster than they should. Or for other Christians, actually, some Christians find it quite, it's not a temptation for them to fiddle the taxes. But then for other Christians, it is a temptation, or benefits, or it could be other things. I think we all find laws in the land, in the UK, that we find, some of them we find easy to agree with and to do, some others we disagree with them and we find them hard to follow. And we might be tempted to break them. And especially when we don't think anyone will notice. But God notices. And that's what matters most. But to be honest, people around us, especially those who know us well, often notice more than we think, especially if you've got children. It matters. God is either more or less glorified, depending on how we submit to our government. And also verse 17, it says, honour the emperor. There's some political leaders that we may very, very strongly disagree with. And it's fine to do that. But do we do it in an honouring way? Do we still honour them while saying, I think you're wrong? Are we ready to live lives that honour God Now, we won't do it perfectly this side of heaven. Of course we won't. We fail, we'll sin. But as we aim for this, as we say, God, I want to be a law-abiding citizen, let's have the bar high. Knowing that, yes, sometimes we'll miss it. But the temptation for me, I don't know about you, is sometimes just set the bar a lot lower so I feel like I've hit it. But let's give it, make it high. Because God's glory is that important, and God's glory should be precious to us, his people. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that your word describes what life is like. We do feel like aliens and foreigners in this world at times, Father. I'm sure Jesus felt like that. Even the world belongs to him. And Father, as we do long to abstain from certain things, as we long to do, as we long to be good citizens in our country, help us to have your glory in view every single day. Help us to put that bar high. Help us to know that you do forgive us when we miss it. And help us to believe you that people will notice now, and people will notice, well, everybody will notice one day. And it is glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray.